Financial advisors are falling all over themselves, chasing after high net worth clients. A new awareness about investing fees makes those with more than $1 million even more appealing because they're profitable clients in a fee-based model. But there are a whole lot of Canadians who simply don't have that much money. Commonwealth is one firm working on retirement plans for those with a modest income. Alex Mazur is a founding partner and he joins us now. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Modest earners. Who are they and why focus on them?
So we define modest earners as Canadians who earn roughly less than $50,000 a year.
Yep.
People that have enough money to put aside but aren't necessarily considered middle class.
Now, you, in a recent op-ed, you cited data that showed this group in particular is not on track to maintain their standard of living in retirement. Tell us more about what you found.
Well, like most Canadians, folks that do not have an employer-sponsored pension plan tend not to be on track to maintain their standard of living in retirement. And most of the debate in Canada has focused around middle-class, middle-income folks. And when we saw the recent enhancement to the Canada Pension Plan, that was really how the problem was defined. You know, middle-income people are not saving enough. But when you actually dig into the data about folks that are what you might call moderate income, so say a person who earns between $25,000 and $50,000, they're pretty far off track from being able to maintain that standard of living, in large part because people are not – they find it difficult to save on their own. And so if you look at kind of the average levels of savings for people without a pension plan and who are more modest income, it's far short of the mark from being able to kind of – maintain their level of consumption.
And is that largely behavioral or largely the reality of I simply cannot afford to find the money to save because of the burden of living on this planet and in this, you know, in the country that we live in?
I think all of us across income bands find it difficult to prepare for retirement all on our own. It's a complex exercise. And I think one of the big factors is people in that income group tend not to have access to workplace retirement plans, whether it's a pension plan or a group RSP or a defined contribution pension plan. So our focus is really on how do you take the elements of a pension plan, which are quite effective for people, and apply them to this group and find new ways to reach them through the workplace or other channels to allow them to get access to that kind of simple retirement savings vehicle.
So what's unique about what you do? I mean, there are tons of insurance companies and tons of people who are providing employer pension plans. Mm-hmm. What's unique about you?
There are two main things that are unique. One is that we're focused on people that don't have a pension plan. So a lot of the retirement industry, I'll call it the pension or retirement industry, is focused on serving employers that already have a retirement arrangement. We know that about half of Canadians don't have access to that, and that's a big swath of the population that is kind of struggling to save on their own on a retail basis. And we also know that because our fees are very high, because our investor protections are not necessarily that strong, it's especially hard for people to prepare. And now, the other thing that's unique about what we're doing is we're focused on a very different demographic, which is lower and moderate income workers who tend not to have workplace benefits, who often have precarious work environments. And so we try to work with organizations like unions and associations that would have large memberships in that group to provide them access to retirement plans.
So your competitor is not another pension provider that you're bumping out. Your competitor is doing nothing.
I would say, you know, if we're competing against somebody, it's basically the high choice individualized model of preparing for retirement versus the group model, which is more of the traditional pension plan or retirement plan.
Just yesterday, I went through a group RRSP for a friend, and I was struck by two things. First, the fees, 1.8%, and second, that only gross returns were provided. So they were not net of fees, which completely ignores the fee problem. Please tell me you don't do that.
We disclose all of our fees. We're not required to do that by regulation. I think we should be. But we disclose the investment fees. We disclose the administrative fees.
And how do you structure it?
So the structure, we're a fairly new company. We've just developed our first plan, which is for home healthcare workers in partnership with the Service Employees International Union. So the structure of that plan is it's set up as a group tax-free savings account, and it does that to allow people to preserve their guaranteed income supplement in retirement, which is a very important source of income for this group.
Yep.
It's a nonprofit structure, so it's overseen by a board, just like a pension plan would be, that's appointed by the union. People can start with as little as $50 a month of contributions contributed through their bank account or through employer payroll. And it's also something where, you know, we don't provide a whole lot of choice. It's a Vanguard provided, it's called a target date fund. It's diversified, it's low cost, 22 basis points is the fee for the investments. And then there's a separate cost for the administration, which is $7 per month, which is a self-service administration, simple administration system where we've partnered with a technology provider.
So if we were to look at apples to apples, that 1.8% versus what would it be for you?
So it depends on the asset size. When you look at a typical member and you compare it to an RSP and you look at the issue of fees and you look at the issue of the GIS clawback, the net retirement bang for the buck, in other words, the amount of retirement income they get for every dollar of contribution is 3 to 4 times higher. So if they contribute consistently, even if it's not a huge amount, say it's 5% between employer and employee, the difference is massive.
Is there a way to compare that 1.8%? Because consumers or investors are used to hearing about MERs. Is it the Vanguard fee plus margin? Like, is it 1.8 versus 0.5, or what's the order of magnitude?
Again, it depends on the asset size because we have a flat administrative fee. It's basically a subscription model of $7 per month.
I'm just trying to give people a comparison that would illustrate the fee difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think once you start to get over $5,000 or $6,000 a year, it becomes lower than the average mutual fund fee. And then when you're, you know, after that, it becomes much, much lower over time.
The TFSA is a better option for people who earn less than, call it, 50 grand, in large part because of the way the taxes work. Take us through an example. You had one example I found online of Amy versus Frank, the great names of those archetypes. What is the thing that people would learn if they reviewed that case study?
So the important thing to realize is that we have this benefit called the Guaranteed Income Supplement, which provides up to $10,000, a little more than $10,000 a year is the maximum you can get. So it's a really important source of income for low and moderate income people. If you take money out of an RSP, a pension plan, even money from the CPP, you lose 50 cents on the dollar.
Because it's income.
Because it's counted as income, so your GIS goes down by 50 cents for every dollar you take out. That's not the case for the TFSA. The TFSA money you take out of a TFSA does not affect your guaranteed income supplement. So it's a very regressive system. It can be a tax as high as 90% or more for a lower income person taking money out of an RSP. That's why you're right, absolutely right. An RSP is not a good decision for someone who's lower and moderate income.
One of your beliefs is what you call cross-sector collaboration. What does that mean?
Well, if you look at Canada has some of the best pension plans in the world. If you look at examples like Ontario Teachers or the Healthcare of Ontario Pension Plan. And if you look at the history of those organizations, they were really a result of a collaboration between unions, government, and financial sector professionals coming together to do the right thing for the member. And that's really our philosophy. We like to work with organizations that have their large memberships, their workers' best interests in mind, and a real goal to strengthen the economic security of the members. And that's why unions, for example, we think are a really good partner for, trying to address this retirement security challenge.
Very interesting. Alex, thank you for your time. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Alex Mazur is a founding partner with Commonwealth.